In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Here are a few questions that you may remember from your baptism or your confirmation, or at least from the last time you saw someone baptized or confirmed. Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace and love? Do you promise to follow and obey Him as your Lord? That last question might trip us up a little bit. It might trip us up because today when we use the term Lord in the church, we usually mean God. But what if we change that question to, do you promise to follow and obey Jesus as your King? That might give us a different perspective on that question. Today, the last Sunday of the liturgical year, is Christ the King Sunday. It might seem a little odd then that we read from Luke's account of the crucifixion of Jesus on this day. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem when Jesus rode into the city accompanied by shouts of, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, might seem more appropriate to Christ the King. Or maybe even the last few verses from the Gospel according to Luke, where Jesus blessed his disciples and was carried into heaven. That might make sense today. But instead of reading some triumphant moment, we read about the crucifixion. We read about soldiers mocking Jesus, saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Then there was that sign that Pilate had ordered to be affixed to the cross, the one that read, this is the King of the Jews. These proclamations of Christ as King were intended to be a mockery. Certainly in that moment, no one took them seriously. What if the problem is that we have a skewed view of kingdom and power and authority? What if our view of these words has been distorted by people like Pilate or Caesar, or perhaps people like Hitler or Stalin? Do we really understand kingdom, power, and authority from God's point of view? Pilate certainly didn't understand. You may remember at the trial of Jesus before Pilate, and Pilate tried to release Jesus so he could crucify Barabbas instead. Now, if you think that's because Pilate was a just ruler and saw that Jesus was an innocent man, that he wanted to crucify Barabbas instead, you're kind of overestimating the character of Pilate. Pilate was notorious for his brutality and his ham-fisted manner of trying to enforce order in Judea. Pilate wanted to crucify Barabbas rather than Jesus because he believed that the true threat to order in Jerusalem was Barabbas. Barabbas had taken part in an insurrection and was guilty of murder. And that's where Pilate saw the threat, not from Jesus. Jesus looked utterly benign to Pilate. When we promised to follow and obey Jesus as our Lord, did we have a view similar to Pilate's? Did we think that maybe Jesus is benign? Or did we understand that following Jesus as Lord would make a radical difference in the way that we live our lives, that our lives would become a challenge to the systems of this world because we obey Jesus as our Lord? Part of the problem is that when we read about Pilate interrogating Jesus in the Gospel according to John, a passage that most of us are familiar with, we read that Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And when we hear those words, we might think that Jesus was saying, "My kingdom and this world are entirely separate matters." Or, "My kingdom has nothing to do with the here and now." That's what Pilate thought. Pilate thought that Jesus posed no threat to the order of Rome. If Pilate had really understood the power of Jesus to transform this world, not just the age to come, but the here and now, Pilate would have trembled before Jesus. Because within a few short centuries, the Christian church had turned the Roman Empire upside down, completely transformed it. The purpose of the Roman Empire was to accumulate as much wealth and comfort as possible for the elite citizens of Rome. Pilate was one beneficiary of that purpose. And the methods of the Roman Empire were force, coercion, and brutality. That was the order of the world that Pilate understood. It's the order of the world that most people throughout human history have understood. We may think we've left that behind, but the truth is we've just masked it in gentler terms today. But it's still there, just underneath the surface. Rather than brutality, we use things like wealth and fame to coerce people. We tell children that they should go to college so that they can get a good education and make a good living, which we mean plenty of money. But when was the last time we said to a child, "You need to go to college and get an education so you can make a contribution to the world"? We measure success by the number of Twitter followers someone has. We ascribe some kind of authority to Hollywood stars because they've appeared in a movie about some cause that they may or may not know anything about. But we see them getting out of their limousines and stepping onto the red carpet like a king or a queen. And so we think those people have authority. Those people have power. If we buy into these views of power and authority, we will look at the sign affixed to the cross above Jesus, the one that says, "This is the King of the Jews," and we won't understand it. Pilate didn't know it, but that sign that he ordered to be hung above Jesus was correct. Jesus Christ hanging on the cross between two bandits was indeed the King. The soldiers who mocked him and the bandit who mocked him didn't understand. He could have come down if he wanted to. He could have saved his life if he'd wanted to. But that is not what kingdom and power and authority really are. You see, Jesus didn't have to get beyond the cross to reveal kingdom and power and authority. On the cross, Jesus was revealing what kingdom and power and authority truly are. In that moment in history, hanging on the cross, Jesus overcame the forces of wickedness and the powers of evil that fought against his kingdom. No matter how enticing wealth and fame and the ability to coerce people, the ability to bend them to our will might be, these things are not the way to kingdom and power and authority. They were doomed to destruction by the cross of Christ. The kingdom of heaven broke into this world with self-giving love and forgiveness and healing. You see, the kingdoms of this world have the power to deal in death, but the kingdom of heaven has the power to bring life. the kingdoms of this world might be able to temporarily control the actions, the bodies of men and women, but the kingdom of heaven has the power to transform the hearts of men and women. There was one other person that day who proclaimed Jesus as the King. There is one person who proclaimed Christ as King on the cross who was sincere. One of the men crucified with Jesus recognized the self-giving love of the King of heaven. And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And to that man, Jesus promised life. When we hear the question, "Do you promise to follow and obey Jesus as your Lord?" may we remember that we're not being asked merely if we believe that he is God incarnate. Remember that we are being asked if we will endeavor to live with the kind of self-giving love that he brought into this world. We're not simply being asked if we will receive his forgiveness. We're being asked if we will endeavor to forgive as we have been forgiven. We're not being asked simply if we want to go to heaven when we die. We're being asked if we will reject the systems of this present world that deals in coercion and death. We're being asked if we will try to serve one another as Christ served us. We're being asked, do we embrace his vision of kingdom and power and authority, or are we going to hold on to this world's vision of kingdom and power and authority? Only one vision has the power to bring healing. Only one vision of kingdom and power and authority has the power to pronounce forgiveness of sins. Only one view has the power to bring life. So do you promise to follow and obey Christ as your King? I share this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.